Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. We have a lovely guest joining us today. K. Margaret Solario. Am I pronouncing the last name correctly?
Yes, Solario. That's it.
Perfect. She's joining us today. She's an intuitive guide, energy mentor, and angelic Reiki practitioner. She is the creator of the Home Frequency Reset, a transformative service that helps clients clear energetic clutter and realign their spaces to support personal growth and inner peace. Through her podcast, Intuitive Wisdom, she blends grounded spiritual insight with practical energy work to help conscious individuals create environments that match their evolving frequency. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here too. And you know, you're here today to talk about angelic Reiki. I'm very excited to have this conversation with you. I think I have a million questions.
Yay.
I would love to start, in terms of where your journey with Reiki started and why.
Great question. So everything started to change for me, as I'm sure it did for lots of people during COVID. I think the whole world was flipped on its side. So that started me on my daily meditation path. So it really helped me. I formed a practice of doing it every morning. And then after a few years, I noticed in the morning, like when I finished my meditations, my hands would be really hot. And so I looked that up and I realized that's one of the signs of being an energetic healer. So I got really curious about that. And I started following different people and learning more about it. And the teacher that I was really drawn to was, I studied with Julie Jancis, and she does angel Reiki. And so I was trying to, like you were asking a little bit what that means. And it's kind of a combination. It's a combination of mediumship and Reiki. Reiki is traditionally a silent practice, but this includes the hand positions like Reiki does. I went through the three attunements, but I also connect with angels and receive messages, sometimes with loved ones from the other side. I more often work with the archangels, but it's not a silent practice in that way, because communication has to stay open because I'm being a channel and the messages are not for me, they're for whoever I'm helping. So that having that open conversation, if it's a person, or now I focus on spaces, I usually take notes and give a follow-up report afterwards.
Fantastic. So what was it like during the attunement process? I think when people, go through Reiki attunements, like their levels, they kind of have this concept of, what they're supposed to experience. So I'd love to hear, what was it like for you, I guess, mentally and physically and spiritually to go through each level?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I actually, on my podcast, I ask a lot of people what their intuition sounds like or feels like, because for that same reason, it's so individual and it's so hard to imagine if you haven't gone through it. And it's kind of, what's the bright word? It's a little freaky. Like when I started getting into this kind of stuff, my cousin, who is on the other side, we shared a birthday, started showing up in my life. And so I had to come up with a symbol. So I know it's her helping me, but the way she showed up in the beginning was to stop the treadmill when I was running. Mm-hmm. And she was a prankster. So I'm like, great. I'm glad you think that's funny, but that's not funny for me. Mm-hmm. Give me a heart attack. But she ended up really helping me through the attunements, which was really beautiful. So it kind of feels like going into a big meditation as you get into that zone. It's all in your mind's eye for me. And it's kind of like a guided meditation that you listen, your teacher guides you through these. Each time for me, I was in a church setting. One time the church was made of like crystals and geodes. It felt like it was in the sky. So it was very grand. I could feel, I'm getting goosebumps. No one's ever asked me about this. Good question. I could feel the energy of souls. So some I recognized and some I didn't, but it gave real weight to the gravity. Like it gave it more What's the right word? Realness. Because sometimes when you do all these things in your mind, or you meditate, you know, you explore all these different avenues when you're meditating, and then you wake up or you come out of it, it sticks with you and makes a big impact on you, but it doesn't feel as real. But having that where it felt like me walking through the center aisle of a church, and I could feel like one time my grandmother there, and I couldn't see them, I couldn't see their faces, but I could see like balls of light, and I could understand who the energy was, and that there were different angels waiting for me. And then it was just so much love and positive energy and positive support. Like, it just felt like such a great thing, and that I felt like I was being of service. But I knew it was almost like you see those images of people being knighted. Like,
yes.
You know, you kind of go up, and it felt like I was being bestowed with this great honor. But it, for me, felt like so exciting that I get to do this work. Mm-hmm. So it was this really need of like, we're happy you're here, and I'm so happy I'm here. And wow, isn't God, source, universe, whichever word you prefer, spirit, just awesome. And so all of those wonderful emotions and energies together.
So what was your relationship, I guess, like? I'd like to understand when you first went through your attunements, and then thereafter, what was your relationship like with, I guess, the archangels when you were going through this process? But also, what was it like before you even did Reiki? Like, what were your beliefs in relation to that?
I knew that angels were a thing, but I didn't work with them or think about them or read about them or learn about them. So not very much at all. And then after this, and I understood how real they were, it was like anything else where you would form a relationship. So you learn and study. The first year I did one archangel a month. So I would just kind of deep dive and try to figure out everything I could. I would connect with them in meditation, but also read as much as I could. And I would usually hold a class with my community too, because that was another way of bringing through more energy. And do that. You asked me more questions about the angels. Would you mind repeating? I forgot.
Oh, no, it's okay. I just want to know what, I guess, your relationship is kind of like with them now. So you studied them and connected with them. I'm curious if you could also answer, what do they look like? Because everybody has a particular thought about what they look like, or what that connection is also supposed to look like.
Also a very good question. I would say angels don't have a gender. They appear to you as best you can receive them. So sometimes that's even a different gender. So I often work with Archangel Gabriel, a feminine version of Gabriel, but Gabriel's the famous one, right? And you read in all the stories, same angel, different facets, kind of, you know, they are showing up in a way that works well with me. Gabriel, when I work, Gabriel is about the voice and using your truth and sharing your wisdom and kind of being in that. And for me, that's a bit of a sisterhood. So I think for her to show up as a female, and a lot of the clients I used to work with when I focused on people instead of homes and spaces, that was something they were working on, the divine feminine energy and stuff. So she would come in relation to be able to communicate that message. For me, I am a fairly visual person. So in my mind's eye, I will often get an image, but I also hear and feel. So sometimes it's that way. Like, I often work with Archangel Michael, and he's such a force. Like, I always think of, you know, in the movies when you see there's some sort of big, like, gateway entrance into this new land, and there are these ginormous stone statues flanking the gateways. That's kind of what comes across. It's like, huh? I'm looking up and I'm like, okay, well, we know who's here. Like, he's a big protector, and it's just this glorious big energy, and I get a bit of a visual. I don't really get faces, but it's more like presence known, who's here, made point kind of situation.
So you work primarily with Gabriel and Michael, but have other, like, do other angels step forward that may be more, I hate to use the word useful, or more meaningful for somebody when you're doing Reiki with them, that they may be the
Yes.
keeper to step forward during that time?
Yes. And the more I've learned, the more I learned kind of general topics that they help with, but also and any communication from the other side, whether it's angels or loved ones, they're going to use your experience of vocabulary, for lack of a better word. So I remember once I was reading a book by a medium, and she said, like, a giraffe is a symbol for her for strength. That in no way means strength for me, but great for her. Like,
Yeah.
so when they're not going to show me a giraffe for strength, but for me, Michael has to do with like your day to day and protection. But a lot of things that come up for my clients are like how they're feeling in their day to day or the pressures of that. And I see, well, water calm or still in relation to what's going on. The last home frequency reset I did last week, Archangel Metatron stepped in with his golden light, and it was really about clarity and aligning and like stepping into who you're going to be. So yes, the di different ones step forward, and the home was actually out in the woods, like surrounded by woods. And Ariel showed up as the supporting angel for that session. And Ariel's known as nature and manifestation and different things. So it was very fitting that she was kind of like hanging out in the woods. It was a good sign.
That's fantastic. One thing that you just mentioned was the fact that the angels will speak utilizing symbols as a form of
Yes.
communication. I think it's such an important point, and I feel like I probably talk about this often, but it is a mode, like a faster, I think it's more effective. It's, a quick way to communicate with you or with anybody to get the message, clear. And I think there's kind of a misconception that people expect there to be, some really loud message that's like, "Hark, this is Archangel Michael. I'm here." I think they really
Yes.
expect that. And then when it's just symbols, they're like, "Oh, okay."
Well, I think that's a little bit learning to discern the difference between your ego and your intuition, these two different parts of your mind, and the spirit is speaking with you through your intuition. Energy, emotions are energy in motion. Spirit is energy. You are a soul having a human experience, so you at your core are energy. And so that communication happens often through energy. So sometimes it is a feeling, sometimes it is an image in your mind that evokes that feeling. And that just takes practice. So one, learning the difference between the heaviness of the egoic kind of like forceful thoughts and the lightness of intuition and thoughts from spirit or your spirit team. But two, then trusting those symbols. I mentioned my most recent home frequency reset, and I got images of like car parts around the front of the driveway, and that impeding some of the energy flowing into the space, into the home. And I thought, well, who puts car parts in their front of their driveway? So I just, when I wrote up the report, I said, I think there's some unused and items around the front of your driveway that are just kind of hanging out there, and they're not helping the flow of the energy, because she was wanting to increase abundance and receiving. And so you can, if you could move those to the back of the lot, I think that would help. And it doesn't seem like you're using them anyway. And she wrote back, and she's like, oh yeah, my boyfriend's a car mechanic, and we have a bunch of old car parts in the front, and then now I can finally get him to move them. And I was like, oh, I should have trusted, of course, that we have actually car parts. Who knew? Yeah. So sometimes you just got to learn to trust it.
Yes, you definitely do. And how long did it take for you to discern what the meanings of the symbols were?
I'm still learning
Yeah.
from everything I've researched. 5 years. I'm in year two. So if after 5 years you've kind of seen it all, and then it's less figuring out the clues and more just using them. So I'm still learning what's a symbol, but sometimes you just can't figure it out because it's a message for somebody else. I remember once I was doing a reading and I saw pancakes. I was like, well, I love pancakes, but I got nothing. And then I said it out loud, and the other person was like, oh yeah, yesterday. And I had this whole spiel to go with it. So sometimes it's just a nudge in the right direction, and you might not be able to put all the pieces, puzzle pieces together yourself.
Right. So you said that during a session that sometimes somebody's loved ones will come through. And I guess from my understanding, when they're coming to you, this is specific to some sort of health treatment, whether, complementary maybe, correct? Like physical ailment, or is it a combination of other things?
To do like cleaning the energy, doing Reiki. Yeah. Not always a physical ailment. Sometimes it's a lot of times it's people just who are interested in personal development and understand there are more facets to us than just the physical. And so knowing that having that reset, the kind of energetic cleansing where you're releasing stuck energy and kind of getting everything flowing can really help in all areas, other areas of your life. So then it's usually messages. One thing I love is that spirit always meets, spirit's my preferred term for God, source, universe, meets you where you are and only provides messages that you can one take and two need in that moment. Because we're all constantly evolving and changing and growing and you don't need everything all at once. So I appreciate that. Yeah. I'll stop. We'll go there. I think I
Oh,
missed another point.
no. I would also, I am, and I'm certainly interested in the whole energy of your house, of your space. Can you certainly talk about that? Because I think we don't necessarily think about that in life. We're usually really busy going, 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 and
Excuse me.
we don't think about cultivating a space that energy can flow through, that can lead to other things in
Right.
life.
I think we do inadvertently, but we forget, or I didn't realize how much it helps us personally and how much we can support ourselves personally by giving that intention and awareness to the space around us. And once I put that connection together and how I've really been doing it all my life and how much it means to me, I was like, wow, this is what I got to focus on. It was really exciting. First of all, I would say one thing I didn't know is that there's energetic residue in all of our houses that collects kind of like dust. So just from each of our beings, I mean, the house itself has its own kind of energy. Sometimes it can be something bigger, like you have an argument. Like if you've ever walked into a room where an argument just finished, everyone's quite aware of what that feels like. So there is that energetic residue and then kind of fragments. Usually they hang out in the corners. So if you've had a big life change or something big like that happen in your life, it's great to clear the space, but in general, to think about it because energy does move and keeping that flow and cleansing is good. Now, I will say too that when we prepare for guests, I think a lot of times we do think about the energy or the mood. We think, oh, I want my guests to walk in here and feel refreshed and light. So I'm going to make sure I tidy up a little bit, or I'm going to spray the air with something that smells good, or I'm going to, extra vacuum to make sure this doesn't feel dusty, or I'm going to put some nice calming music on for when they're here. Like you think about those different the senses and how they perceive things and how to make it pleasant for someone else. But I think a lot of times we forget we can do that for ourselves in having one intention for a space, or at least a main intention. And then, like let's say it's your office. Well, if you set a timer for 5 minutes at the end of the day or the beginning of the day and just tidy up and put things away, that is a little positive energetic anchor that one lets the energy flow. I like to think of energy like, when we see the weather maps and you see all those arrows with the airflow currents and things. That's what I see when I see a room. So the energy is flowing through your space, kind of like the air is going up and over things. And if it's clear, it's easier for it to flow. Now, I never like imposing rules on anyone and asking someone to make a dramatic change because I feel like that's not sustainable and it's a lot. So I'm huge on little changes with big impact. So that's where cleaning up for 5 minutes and just putting things away, like not reorganizing, not getting lost in your cleaning session, just putting a few things away can make you feel lighter, but also can let that energy flow. Or I love opening a window every day. If you can get the cross flow, but it's something little that just refreshes the air in the space and you feel better. It's all about supporting how you feel and allowing you to have that clarity, that focus, those good vibes in your relationships, in your having better sleep and feel more focused work, all the things it affects.
Definitely. So, what could be, I guess, in our space, our living space, or other rooms in our house, like what could be energetic blockers? I'm not sure if I'm using the right terminology here, but anything where trapped energy maybe can be that would inhibit like free flowing energy.
Yeah, sometimes it's literally a thing. So if you think about something when you see it or use it that kind of makes you shrink down or not feel great, whether it's something you were given or inherited that you didn't necessarily want, but you felt bad about giving away. For me, for a long time, I was taught you don't replace something until you absolutely can't use it anymore. So here I was with little kids and towels that were kind of embarrassing, but they
Yeah.
weren't done. So I was holding on to them. And then when I learned about this, I was like, well, wait a second. I'm literally bringing the frequency, the energy down every time I use these and see these and have to wrap these around my kids. What if I just invested a little bit of money, got some nice towels, and every time I see the towels, I'm like, woohoo, look at me. I'm the kind of person who has matching towels and they're great and fluffy.
Yes.
It's like little changes like that. Or we had, a chipped bowl and or a few of them. And then every time I set the table, I gave myself the chipped bowl. So I just brought myself down more. And here I'm supposed to be leading my family and being a good example. And I was like, that's silly. For $20, I get a whole set of bowls and everybody can have a nice bowl and it just lifts everything up. And I don't save it for something else. I raise the energetic minimum of my day and everyone benefits.
Yes, definitely. And so when you're doing, I'm just going to call it a session, lack of a better word, client, are you like tuning in remotely to their space? And if so, do the angels like assist you with this in particular?
They do. So I do mostly remote sessions. To start, I ask the clients to set an intention so I can use that. And then also to provide a quick sketch of the space. So if it's a home, then just identifying the rooms, giving it one word, bedroom, bathroom, and the outside space. And then I go through that almost like I used to use a body graph to go through physical people. And I start with the energy flow. So it comes in the front door. Knowing the outside, which doors go to the outside is very important. But I clear each room. And then usually at the beginning, I'll tune in. So I use my intuition, what I'm led to. Sometimes I use sound. I have a sound bowl. Sometimes I use crystals. I usually clear the space where I'm working with burning some sage before I start. I do a short meditation to tune in and I get my notebook out and then I ask, I say, who's here to help with this? So last time it was Archangel Metatron and Ariel, and I wrote down the notes why, and then started in each space and you just take notes in each space. And I usually get a reading of the room, like how it feels. If something needs more attention, then I spend some more time. What I do is I raise the energy and then the angels transmute it. So it's like teamwork in terms of clearing energy and lifting things. And then they'll sometimes give me insights into things that can help. So what comes to mind is I've been reading a lot about feng shui because it links and I'm
I
super
was going to ask
interested
you
in
about
it.
that.
But it's not what I'm used to, but the angels knew I've been working on. So like I was in one area and I got all these water signs, and that's one of the five elements in Chinese feng shui. And so it was obvious that it was dominant, heavy water. So then I was like, okay, what balances water? Earth balances water. So then it would the recommendations were to balance that. The energy felt really good, but a little out of alignment. So if you wanted to improve, you could add more earth tones like yellows and browns, or more square shapes, or earth materials like a stone bench top or a stone tabletop or something that helps the energy in that space. So sometimes they'll give little recommendations of how to enhance what is ready there. So sometimes it's just a clearing. Sometimes it's just, wow, this is great. Keep doing this. If you wanted to, you could add that. And once in a while, it's like, oh, this is the heart of your home. For me, the heart aligns with the heart chakra and is very green. So it's often bringing in like a nature element to help ground that.
I think that's really awesome. So when you're tuning in to somebody's space, what does it feel like? I guess I'm going to say energetically, if there's clutter, what does that feel like as opposed to it not being cluttered? Do you feel it in the body? Like, how do you feel it?
That's a good question. I don't know if there's clutter because I don't see it. I guess, I mean, out of personal experience, clutter is very heavy. I grew up in a very cluttered home, and I've had a bit of a 180 reaction to that, where I'm constantly purging stuff, and my family is like, my kids and my husband are like, wait, don't put that away. Wait, don't put that away. Because I love the clear and clean. I don't think it necessarily all aligns with clutter. I think you'll feel better if you clean out that one random bathroom or kitchen drawer that has everything but the kitchen sink in it that we all have. Yeah. You know, you feel better when you look in it. So that raises everything when you feel better. But I don't, there's no judgment. The angels have nothing but positive intentions and vibrations and messages, which I love. I don't work with any, I don't do any shadow work or anything like that. It's only positive messages. And I think the only thing I feel is that I just feel a little heaviness. And then I get this message that I should just spend some more time there. So I hold my hands over that area on the map that I'm using, and I just wait. And you can feel, sometimes each session always has a different, what's the right word for that? Like clearing. I once worked with a woman, and when her chakra was clear, I got the smell of apple pie. It was really funny.
Wow.
And at the end, after our session, I said something. I said, you know, everyone and every space has a different like clearing. Sometimes it looks like tying a bow. Sometimes I always get something different, but there's some symbol that's like, great, we've done this room, you can move on. Mm-hmm. And so the apple pie one was funny, because I said that to her and she goes, oh yeah, I have this new perfume. It smells like apple pie. I love it. So it was her that they were, it was very personal, that of course spirit knew I didn't, but, yeah, there, I always get a sign that just that the energy has lifted, that it's clear, that it's good to move on. I don't know if that relates to clutter in the space though.
No, I think that's so fantastic. I like the apple pie story too, because it's always great to have validation when you're doing this work.
Yes.
You know, because I feel like we desperately need that. We always need that confirmation until we really 100% trust. But I love that you shared that story for people, because I think it's necessary when you're doing this work.
Oh yeah. And I think we're human. We never 100% trust. It'd be great if we did, but
yes,
the validations are fun. And I think that's why angels and our loved ones on the other side come to help us so much. Cause you know, they know it's difficult here on earth. There's lots to learn, and it's just supporting and encouraging, like, yep, yep. What you were thinking. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So is there, you kind of allude, spoke about this very a little bit earlier about abundance, like maybe changing your space, which will allow for more abundance. So can you speak about that a little bit?
Sure. So my last client, that was her intention, to allow and to be able to receive more abundance, kind of the fruits of her labor. She'd been working hard on stuff. So that's what the angels showed me, was really allowing for that path, like welcoming the energy in the front door, like you would welcome guests, and then also welcoming the abundance. So giving a little time and attention to your front space, whether it's outside, keeping it clean, but also the inside where you receive, just to think about that being a space that makes you happy. I mean, if you think about going to a nice hotel and walking into the hotel room, usually you have a nice sigh of relief and go, great, this is a nice, you know, clean, exciting space where I'm going to be taken care of. Yeah. Well, hopefully you get to feel like that when you come home too, because that's your sacred space. That's your, what you've created for you. That should be the best for you. So having that same, that type of feeling when you walk in, and maybe you don't use the front door, so your front door is another door, but thinking of that entry, the front door is still significant, even if you don't use it regularly, but how that energy flows in. And then I think a number, it's also, like we talked about earlier, raising your energetic minimum. So kind of, I once heard somebody say, you are what you tolerate. Yeah. So if you think about that, and you're tolerating things that don't make you happy or that weigh you down, little things like using the best mug in your cupboard for your own coffee, you know, it sounds silly and it sounds obvious, but it really is a constant like uplift. Every time you look at it, you're like, aha, I didn't save this for the queen. I saved it for me.
Right.
You know, it feels good.
Yes.
And it raises everything else with it.
Yes. How has angelic Reiki, how has this changed your life? And how has it changed even how you move about in the world, how you see the world?
Really good question. For me personally, it's knowing I'm not alone ever. I think I used to fear that and have a lot of low self-confidence. And I'm still building my confidence up always, but knowing in any situation, whether you want to have fun with it, and before you go to the grocery store, you say a prayer and you ask for a nice parking spot and then you get your parking spot, or you're working something, that power of intention. So taking a second before you shift into a different gear or you shift into a different task and saying, oh, here I am, I'm moving forward this, you know, angels or spirit or God or whoever you want to pray to, can you help me? Knowing they're always there to ask questions. So I've always journaled, but I didn't realize how easily you can also ask and receive answers to your own questions. So when I journal, I'll just ask them, hey, you know, I really want to do better with this, or I really want to create this. How do I do it? And I get quiet, and then the answers start to come, and I write them down before I start judging myself for what popped into my head and read back through it. And I'm like, oh, whoa, those are the 10 things I need to do. Great. Thank you so much. So knowing that I can always, the world isn't as big of a mystery. I really now believe anything is possible. I feel like we always say that, but we don't really believe it. We always find like a reason why, no, that's not possible for me, or no, not in this lifetime, or no, you know, you talk yourself out of it. But knowing the angels, I know truly, just because I don't know how to get from point A to point B doesn't mean it's not possible. There's something I need to learn, or there's something I need to ask, or there's no reason why it can't be me too. So having that belief that anything is possible, and also knowing I'm never alone. Everyone has angels waiting to help. They just wait for you to ask.
Yes, definitely. I think, you know, some really good points there, especially like you can get the answers to your questions. Many people think it takes, like, you have to do all these rituals, or I have to go to this place to get the answer. But really, it doesn't require all of that. Like you said, just, you know, journaling, getting quiet and asking, and then trusting what you're getting.
Yes, that's the hardest part. For me, at least, the intuition comes in like a whisper.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll get it throughout the day and I'll start arguing with myself, and then I'll realize, oh, wait, that's helping you. Stop arguing. Because it's so subtle, you know, where your ego comes in and like tells you it knows better, you know, heavy handed. Your intuition and spirit, it's very subtle light. I think of the energy of the thoughts. They feel really light and airier to me. So yeah, it's very easy to dismiss them or argue back with them, or just think, oh, that can't be true. And you can always ask for multiple signs. Some people really need that physical sign, and you say, okay, I really want to see a heart today, and I'll know what I prayed for, what I asked about, is that's the right choice. And then you see one and you go, well, maybe that's a fluke. I need to see another one. You know, and if I see three, then I was like, okay, I can't argue with three. I'll quit asking and I'll start doing something.
Yes, you have to up the ante. It's like one is too easy. I need three or four. Then I know you're legit.
Yeah, that's human.
Yes. And the other thing, you know, you said is pretty much that we have free will. We have to ask, you know, our angels for help. It's like it's such an easy thing to do. And they're really wanting to actually assist us, because it's, you know, it's not the easiest place to be at all the time, but it's our responsibility to do that.
You're right. Free will is number one. You have the choice. You have, I mean, to almost to your own detriment, if you say, you know, I really want to, subconsciously, obviously we don't all say this consciously, but like suffer in this way, the universe will bring you lots of things so you can be in that type of situation. It loves you unconditionally. Or they love you unconditionally. Excuse me. So there are trillions and trillions of angels. We each have at least one assigned to us from the birth through the end. So you've always got at least one with you here who knows everything and is there to help you. But like you said, you've got loved ones on the other side, and there are literally trillions of angels all around. All you have to do is ask. They're excited to help. And it doesn't matter who you pray to either. Like you said, the rituals thing, sometimes that helps us as humans. But when you're almighty and infinite and everywhere all the time, and time does not work the same way for you on the other side, that's nothing. So I associate Archangel Michael with protection. So if I'm going on a trip, I will pray to him. But he's got legions of angels. So, you know, even if it's not him personally coming, it's, you know, the message gets where it needs to go.
Yes, it really does. I love that. And I think the best reminder for people is because we, you know, there's some of us really feel alone in this life, you know, and it's easy to feel alone, but you never, you really never are.
That's the best because it's hard. I mean, at the end of the day, we've got how many thousands of thoughts going on in our own head. There's no way to fully express that to anyone else. Like no one actually knows all the things you're going through and all the things you're thinking and all the things you're dreaming or can see your visions like you see your visions. But to know that, yeah, you have loving, supportive spirits on the other side, literally helping you get the job done, not only cheering you on, it's very empowering.
It is empowering. I would love to know what you think some common misconceptions are of angelic Reiki or Reiki itself or a session.
Yeah, I think scared is a common thing. I used to, I don't know if I still do, end all my emails to anyone with angels only bring through loving and positive messages, because that was the comment I got a lot, that people were afraid of negative energy or negative spirits. And, I learned there is no darkness. There is only absence of light. So if you shine your light, there's no space for that darkness to exist. It can't exist. So shining your own light is really important. But yeah, I think being scared of what you might find or something trying to attack you or attack your space or something like that, I come across those fears, but I have not experienced that at all. It's nothing but loving and positive. Like I said, it's even more unique that it meets any work that I do. The messages meet you exactly where you are and what you need in that moment in your life. Like if you're considering something or you're working on a specific intention, everything goes with that. You are the leader. You have that free will. So it follows you. There's not a need for defense. We're here to support you being more of you, your authentic self and how you want to evolve. So I think being scared is probably the biggest misconception. A lot of times people just think it's not real,
yeah.
Which is fair. If you can't see it, I get that humanness want to only believe in things that you see, even though we, you know, if you are sitting in a room with your back to the door and somebody walks in, you feel them walk in and you often know who it is. You can read the energy without seeing them. So we all have that ability. We all are energetic beings and have that ability. But that's one reason I really enjoy working remotely. Not only can I help more people, but it also takes away, like you were saying, the clutter, like nobody's judging you on your space. And it takes away like a lot of those social norms where you think, well, I have to do this and this to receive someone into my home. Or I have to, for me, like, you know, hold a conversation this way. The focus is just on the work. You don't have to be there. You don't have to worry. I tune in, I do my work, and it's just very clear on the work. I appreciate that. But also, he kind of proves the work. So like the car parts story where I didn't know there were car parts hanging out there, you know, me making a comment that landed really well is like, oh, right, this is just for me, even though I'm not seeing, I don't know what the house looks like. You know, I never saw the property.
Wow. I just think it's phenomenal work. It's very unique. At least I personally don't hear a lot of people who are doing things like that. So I think it's super helpful because most of us, I mean, depending on if you work from home, and I think a lot of us work from home
nowadays,
you know,
I do too.
It's something I'm like, huh, that's actually a really good idea. And it's super helpful. And I love that you work really closely with the archangels and the angels.
Thanks.
And I guess I would just ask you, like, you know, I asked you how it changed your life, but what would you recommend, like, if people wanted to start building a connection with, you know, their angels or even with their archangels, or if they're nervous to get a Reiki session, what would you tell them? Because some people, like you said, Oh, I've even had people I've done Reiki on. They're like, "Well, I don't feel anything," So they question it. There's so much skepticism, the session. So a few different questions there.
Yeah, you might have to repeat. I'm not holding, they're so exciting. I'm not holding them all in my head. I would say for starting out, one, trusting, getting some sort of meditation practice. It doesn't have to be actually laying down for 5 minutes in silence or sitting in silence for 5 minutes. Maybe it's going for a walk every day for 5 or 10 minutes, or maybe it's just sitting with your cup of coffee and not having any other stimulants and sitting outside and listening to nature. Whatever that space is that you can get to where you can hear your own thoughts and begin to almost sift and sort. Because if they just bombard you all day, it's hard to discern which ones are shouldas that somebody taught you, which ones are your ego telling you, just don't do anything uncomfortable, stay safe, and which ones are your intuition and your spirit guides going, ah, over here, this would be great. So getting to a place where you can hear yourself, that was my first step. Everything was too loud and incoming when I first started. That can be really helpful. And then once you can hear yourself, then you can ask, because then you can discern those answers that come through as the soft, gentle, helpful information. So you can ask, hey, how many spirit guides do I have? Or, hey, Archangel Michael, I learned you were a thing. Can you send me a sign? When I first did that, I found a black feather on our back deck, and that's
Wow.
blackbirds are a symbol of Archangel Michael. And I was like, whoa, which I have, so you get those validations. You were talking about it, it helps you keep on. And then being scared for Reiki, that's okay. You should try anything that follow your curiosity. So if maybe Reiki doesn't feel great right now and a tarot reading does, I've never been drawn to tarot, but some people it really helps. Or crystal work helps. I've had a crystal healing session that's actually very similar to Reiki, so maybe that's a way to start. But I think just because you, what's the right word? You, like you were saying, free will is number one, but also you are the magnet for your life. You set that tone, you set that vibration. So if you're not ready to receive information about the energy moving, you're not going to be able to hear it. It's like, a lot of us, different people teach a lot of different things. There are thousands of math teachers all teaching math the same thing over and over again, but somebody says it one way that makes sense to you.
Right.
It's life changing. So if you're not hearing the message the first time, that doesn't mean it's not helping you, but you keep exploring and you find a modality that works for you where you are in your journey, and it can be really helpful. And just knowing that energy is part of everything
Yeah.
is exciting.
It is exciting. I love the whole, I'm not going to call it the idea, but knowing that everything is connected. It's wild.
Yes, it's so humbling. It's really helped me be more empathetic. Because, yeah, when you see somebody, you're like, oh, like whereas before everything feels very separate and you feel that aloneness, when you understand everything is connected and the trees have the energy that I have, that this that the other people have, you see more similarities than differences, and it's a different world.
It definitely is. Okay, Margaret, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. This was fantastic. And if people want to connect with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, you can go to my website, deliciousease.com, and I've got a free quiz there you can download to try to start ask you some questions, and you can discern if you might have some stuck energy in your home. I also have a podcast. It's called the Intuitive Wisdom Podcast, and my book is available on Amazon, Make Easier Vibe.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here. And everybody, have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.